The Book of Acts, Chapter 12. Peter's arrest and deliverance, the death of Herod. It could be said that much of what is recorded in the Book of Acts is bizarre in natural terms, and this chapter is no different and is in fact a prime example. So, I ask again, has God gone silent in our days? Has he fallen asleep? Has he forgotten us? For we do not see these great acts of God that these disciples were seeing. Why is that? Read to the end of this chapter for an answer. Peter's arrest and deliverance. Acts 12:1. Now about that time Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church, to do them harm. Verse 2. And he had James the brother of John executed with a sword. Verse 3. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter as well. Now these were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4. When he had arrested him, he put him in prison, turning him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending only after the Passover to bring him before the people. Commentary break. King Herod was distrustful, jealous, and brutal, ruthlessly crushing any potential opposition. The Jews never accepted him as their legitimate king, and this infuriated him. He constantly feared conspiracy. He executed his wife when he suspected she was plotting against him. Three of his sons, another wife, and his mother-in-law met the same fate when they too were suspected of conspiracy. Herod, feigning to be a legitimate Jew, would not eat pork, but he freely murdered his sons. Matthew's account of Herod's slaughter of the infants in Bethlehem fits well with what we know of the king's ambition, paranoia, and cruelty. Matt 2:1-18. So, true to form, when Herod found it expedient to jail or murder Jews who belonged to the church, he went after the leadership, Peter being central. But, being aware of his timing, rather than execute Peter during were the days of unleavened bread, he jailed him until after these feast days. And it was under the crafty deceit of evil, God moved in, and things became very strange. Does this mean this will happen for you or for me? There is no way to telling. But we do know this: God's plan and purpose is always in motion and nothing will divert, stop or thwart his plan. It is us, Christians, who are slumbering, not God. He has not forgotten us, but it would seem that we may have forgotten about him. And why would God rescue a person who did not need or did not want to be rescued? If we would do as the disciples and apostles were doing, we just might, once again, see the mighty hand of God move on our behalf. Perhaps in our modern context we should remember the significance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The timeless themes of freedom, spiritual purification, and humility reflected a commitment to doing what is right in the sight of the Lord, Deuteronomy 6:18. Although New Testament believers are not obligated to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, may we never forget that it is our Father in heaven who provides our daily bread, Matthew 6:11. End commentary break. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made to God intensely by the church. Commentary break. Please read the significance and the symbolism of verse 5. So, i.e., therefore, Peter, from the Greek word petros, small stone, a rock, part of a the greater cornerstone, God has planned for Peter, was kept, from the Greek word terio, to tend to carefully, to take care of, to keep on in the state in which he is, to reserve for something, in the prison, from the Greek word, phylake, to guard, watch, persons keeping watch, such as guards or sentinels, of the place where captives are kept, a prison. Peter was not only being held by guards and being watched, he was also being held by God and God was keeping watch over him, keeping him safe, but prayer for him was being made to God intensely, from the Greek word ektenos, fervently, intensely, earnestly, as reaching a hand out toward. This kind of prayer is in essence and in fact God reaching his hand toward Peter, by the church. This is the interaction of the church and the apostles with God. It is our service to God that brings God to our rescue. It is our knowing and doing the will of God that moves his hand in our favor. It is all about God, his plan, his purpose, and his ways. Do you wish to bring God out of his slumber? Come out of your slumber. End commentary break. Verse 6. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. Commentary break. God is never too early and never too late. He does not slumber and he never forgets. Remember this. Rest in this. Seek first his righteousness and his kingdom and all these other things will be added to you. End commentary break. Verse 7. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near Peter, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him, saying, Get up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Verse 8. And the angel said to him, Put on your belt and strap on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Verse 9. And he went out and continued to follow, and yet he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Commentary break, when your friends, the watching world and even those in the faith tell you that you are imagining things when God shows you the way or calls you to his service even in the seemingly smallest of matters, search the scriptures, then trust him first. Obey him and follow him. He will never lead in the wrong direction, but always in holiness according to his purpose. End commentary break. Verse 10. Now when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11. When Peter came to himself, he said, Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. Commentary break, please remember the words from these verses. When Peter came to himself, i.e., realized what was going on, the results of his obedience were made clear. Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me. When you hear the voice of God or see his hand moving, join him in what he is doing and you will be made safe in his arms for his purpose. End commentary break. Verse 12. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Verse 13. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a slave woman named Rhoda came to answer. Verse 14. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. Verse 15. They said to her, You are out of your mind. But she kept insisting that it was so. They said, It is his angel. Verse 16. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. Commentary break, I encourage us to see the contrast of looking but not seeing and believing before you see. The former says, You are out of your mind, the former says and they were amazed. Live in his amazement. End commentary break. Verse 17. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, Report these things to James and the brothers. Then he left and went to another place. Verse 18. Now when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. Verse 19. When Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. Death of Herod. Verse 20. Now he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and with one mind they came to him, and having won over Blastus the king's chamberlain MG 1909, 2846 equals greater than they were asking for peace, because their country was supported with grain from the king's country. Verse 21. On an appointed day, after putting on his royal apparel, Herod took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. Verse 22. The people repeatedly cried out, The voice of a god and not of a man. Verse 23. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. Commentary break, verses 22 and 23 give us an astonishing look at the vengeance of God. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and immediately, he was eaten by worms and, then, died. This is an eternal warning to those who would claim the glory of God as their own. Beware pastors. Beware preachers, theologians, and church leaders. Beware unless an angel of the Lord strikes because you try to keep even a small part of God's glory for yourselves. Remember the fate of Ananias and Sapphira when they held back on God. They immediately collapsed and died and were buried in shame. End commentary break. Verse 24. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. Verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned when they had fulfilled their mission to Jerusalem, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. End of Acts chapter 2. I see, hear and read about supposed pockets of Christian revival taking place. I believe most of these spontaneous revivals are more like religious flash mobs. I agree their intentions may be good, but I wonder if the results are life-changing and lasting? Revival refers to a spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy or stagnation in the life of a believer. It encompasses the resurfacing of a love for God, an appreciation of God's holiness, a passion for His Word and His Church, a convicting awareness of personal and corporate sin, a spirit of humility, and a desire for repentance and growth in righteousness. Revival invigorates and sometimes deepens a believer's faith, opening his or her eyes to the truth in a fresh, new way. It generally involves the connotation of a fresh start with a clean slate, marking a new beginning of a life lived in obedience to God. Revival breaks the charm and power of the world, which blinds the eyes of men, and generates both the will and power to live in the world but not of the world. In the USA, the first revival, also called the First Great Awakening, produced an upsurge of devotion among Protestants in the 1730s and 1740s, carving a permanent mark on American religion. It resulted from authoritative preaching that deeply moved the church members with a convicting awareness of personal guilt and the awesome nature of salvation through Christ. Breaking away from dry ritual and rote ceremony, the Great Awakening made Christianity intensely personal to the average person, as it should be, by creating a deep emotional need for relationship with Christ. Revival, in many respects, replicates the believer's experience when he or she is saved. It is initiated by a prompting of the Holy Spirit, creating an awareness of something missing or wrong in the believer's life that can only be righted by God. In turn, the Christian must respond from the heart, acknowledging his or her need. Then, in a powerful way, the Holy Spirit draws back the veil the world has cast over the truth, allowing the believers to fully see themselves in comparison to God's majesty and holiness. Obviously, such comparisons bring great humility, but also great awe of God and His truly amazing grace, Isaiah 6:5. Unlike the original conversion experience that brings about a new relationship to God, however, revival represents a restoration of fellowship with God, the relationship having been retained even though the believer had pulled away for a time. See gotquestions.org. Either way, I must defer to scriptures when considering these matters. Characteristics of revival. 1. Repentance and confession. Genuine revival is marked by a deep conviction of sin and a heartfelt turning away from it. Psalm 51:10-12 captures the essence of this transformation: create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. 2. Prayer and intercession. Revival is often preceded and sustained by fervent prayer. James 5:16 emphasizes the power of prayer: the prayer of a righteous man has great power to prevail. 3. Renewed love for God's Word. A hallmark of revival is a renewed hunger for Scripture. As seen in Nehemiah 8:1-8, the reading and understanding of God's Word led to a revival among the Israelites. 4. Holiness and obedience. Revival results in a renewed commitment to holiness and obedience to God's commands. 1 Peter 1:15-16 exhorts believers, "But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." 5. Evangelistic zeal. Revived individuals and communities are often characterized by a passion for sharing the gospel. Acts 4:31 illustrates this: after they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Impact and legacy. Spiritual revival has a profound impact on both individuals and society. It leads to personal transformation, church renewal, and societal change. Historically, revivals have been catalysts for missionary movements, social reforms, and cultural shifts. The Great Awakenings in America, for example, were periods of intense revival that significantly influenced the spiritual and moral landscape of the nation. Conclusion. While revival is a work of God, it often begins with a small group of believers who are willing to humble themselves, seek God's face, and pray for His intervention. As such, it serves as a powerful reminder of God's desire to renew and restore His people, drawing them closer to Himself and empowering them for His purposes. See BibleHub.com. Your brother and friend, Mike Young. Previous, the Book of Acts, Chapter 11, Peter's Report in Jerusalem, the Church in Antioch. Next, coming soon, the Book of Acts, Chapter 13, the First Missionary Journey, Paul Turns to the Gentiles. Please bookmark this page or subscribe for future episodes.